Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ian Schur joins us, editor-at-large at CNET. Ian, thanks for joining us. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm starting to try and figure out where the joke I should come up with a joke about Thomas Jefferson or not.
We did do jokes earlier, but that's not a joke, sir. We are 100% going to interview the third president on stage October 30th.
I think that's amazing. Next, you should get George Washington because, you know, he's the first to mandate vaccines. He actually, at Valley Forge in the middle of the war, mandated all of his troops get vaccinated against smallpox in order to fight the British. And they got it done.
Hold on, I'm writing this down. Smallpox. Really? You know your history as
well
as your tech.
Look it up. It's there. It's actually, what was it? I think the Smithsonian put out an article recently about it because obviously it's very relevant. George Washington, first person to mandate a vaccine in the United States.
Ian Schur is on a phone line. So, Ian, I have very specific instances I'm going to ask you about. But in general, let's just start with this. What advice do you have for people who on their smartphone are getting pings and bings saying click this or call this for a variety of reasons? Either something needs to be reset or you've won a prize or the IRS needs to ask you a question about your taxes. In general, do you have any advice for us on how we sort truth from bogus in this case?
Ignore them all is my best answer. They almost always are fake. And I'll give you instances when they're not. But the IRS will never call or text you. They love to use the mail. In fact, it's part of the laws around the IRS. They send, in a lot of people's opinions, too much mail. But they love to write everything down, print it out, and then send it to you. So you will not get a phone call or a text message from the IRS about anything. Or if you do, they're going to send you a letter as well, so you can just wait for that.
Keep going.
So when it comes to any other, if we think about government agencies, right, generally speaking, again, they don't really like to text or call. They like to send you letters. I know that there's a scam out there where people claim that you're going to have your Social Security number shut down because of some reason or another. That's not even a thing, but that's another one of those. They're going to send you a letter if they're going to do it. And then also, on top of all of that, most often are these links that they send you through your text messages are just like the random links you get in your email. They are usually full of scam, or they have a virus attached to them or whatever else, and you want to not click.
Yeah, that's interesting. Although, I can think of one exception here in Illinois. We're running a vaccine lottery, and the way they notify the winner is they send him a text. And
yeah, but I have to imagine there's a way to check, right? And that's the other thing, is that let's say that by some magical incident, the text that you did not ask for is somehow legitimate. The reality is you can always double check. So when it comes to the government, you know, the IRS has a very prominent phone number on their website. Call that number. Don't call whatever number just texted you. Same thing with, I'm sure the lottery people do the same thing, right? They've got a phone number you can check. There's a lot of these companies now have realized, Apple, Comcast, you name them, right? The people who often are used in, people claim to be working for these companies but are in fact scammers. They've learned that they are used to now people calling and saying, hey, I just got a text message from you. Is this real? And they can quickly tell you whether it is.
What about the Costco one? I'm surprised that Costco isn't running ads saying we are not sending text messages out telling people, last notice from Costco, we are still trying to reach John with the customer coupon number .. 2375. It looks legitimate. Yeah. Click here to claim your, and then it ends. And you go, oh, wow, Costco. Everybody shops at Costco. And here's the thing, Ian, you hate to think that you're leaving something of value out there unclaimed.
That's the genius of all this stuff, right? And in fact, it's funny. You know, we've written on CNET about a lot of the scammers out there. And one of the things that I've learned about kind of scammer behavior is that some of them, you know, the way they sleep at night is that they think to themselves, well, you know you didn't deserve whatever money you think is coming to you. And so to them, you are just as greedy as they are. So, you know, it's kind of weird, right, is that, you know, a lot of this preys on human behavior, and there's actually a lot of psychology behind it, even though a lot of these scammers are frankly morons and jerks on top of that. But there's a lot of con man stuff going on here, and that's one of them, right? I mean, it's genius to write a text message that says, you know, just enough information that you really want to click. But, you know, in those instances, the thing is Costco doesn't want to put out ads about this stuff because they're drawing attention to it, right? And oftentimes it's not that they're embarrassed that scammers are using their names. They hate it. But the reality is that it creates a situation where scammers might know, oh, this is an effective scam, so much so that Costco is willing to spend money to advertise to say it's not real.
And you're telling me that the psychology of the scammer is that I know I don't have anything coming. The fact that you've just pulled me over on the side of the corner and said, hey, listen, I can get you some free stuff at Costco, makes me part of the crime. So I'm a party to it. So they don't feel bad about ripping me off because I was willing to rip Costco off. That's what the scammers.
That's essentially what it comes down to. Yeah, and look, I'm not saying that anything is right here, right? Obviously, it is an awful crime when people steal money. And often, you know, who are the people who are the worst victims of this? It's the elderly, right? It's a lot of people who are not used to interacting with this stuff, right? I mean, a lot of this stuff is computer-based. There's a lot of tech support scammers out there. Or, you know, they'll claim to be a government agent, and the, you know, elderly people are like, well, maybe they're, I don't know. And on top of that, you know, a lot of people are not fully within their faculties, and so they get one pulled over on them.
Okay, but fair enough. No, I think that's fair to say. Remind grandma or grandpa, before you click on that, call me, right? But me being somebody who's not John Williams. But, okay, now I have a couple more specific ones, one about a Google password reset, one about a credit card, and maybe you've got one too. 312-981-7200. Ian Schur is an editor-at-large at CNET. Oh, and Ian, you also have to talk to me about how complicated it is or is not to set up a smart TV. Talking to Ian Schur, an editor-at-large at CNET, about some of the things that you get on your phone and how do you know the real ones from the not real ones. I got a ding the other day and it said that we've noticed, Google was telling me, that somebody is using your Google account from an unfamiliar device. And so we want you to confirm your Google password. And I did. And I hope that was okay.
I hope so, too. The thing is that when it comes to tech companies, it's actually a lot harder because they do like to text us a lot, and they do like to communicate with us in a lot. In fact, I had someone try to hack into my Apple account recently. It was the first time that anyone had really tried. Generally speaking, I've been lucky about that. And I got an alert because I had factor authentication turned on. That's where not only will I put in my password, but I will also be asked to put in a special code or a text message code that's sent to me afterward. A lot of banks
right.
do this.
Sure.
But now it's something that you can actually do on your computer. And, John, it's incredible. It's something like less than 5% of the people out there have it turned on. But it is one of the best ways you can stop scammers. Of course, we have instructions on CNET for how to turn it on. That will protect you so well, even when you end up in these instances. Because the way I knew someone was trying to hack into my Apple was not that Apple warned me. It's that I suddenly got an alert telling me, hey, someone, you know, here's your second factor password. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? And that's how I knew someone was trying to hack in. And so I immediately changed my password by going directly to Apple.com. And then I sent a chat over to the iCloud people, right? You can get on, you know, you can talk to their tech support people directly from Apple. I don't use whatever text message they sent me. And I alerted them, hey, something weird is going on with my account. And they said, thank you. We'll keep an eye on it. So that is the way that you can protect yourself. The reality is that a lot of these things are happening because, you know, again, the tech industry is very communicative over text. Yeah. But also, if they can get one password out of you, they usually think they can test it against all sorts of stuff. Most people use the same password everywhere they go.
Yeah.
So that is part of the danger here, is that if you gave them that one password you use, John, everywhere you go, the next thing they're going to do is check your email and password against your PayPal and against your bank and against your, you know, your Netflix and whatever else.
What was the feature that you used to protect yourself against 95% of these things? What did you do?
So it's called two-factor authentication, right? So that's the second. What happens is you enter in your username and your password, and then either, you know, whatever people, right, Google, your bank, whomever,
yeah,
will send you a text message with a second password. They usually have to enter in within 5 minutes. Almost everything on the internet now offers this, including, by the way, the IRS. So you can make sure that you are protected anywhere you go by turning this on in particular. And it makes it incredibly hard for scammers,
yeah,
to be able to crack into your stuff, even if they have your password.
Okay, yeah, I think we're all familiar with that, and that's mostly how these things happen. I was under the impression you were telling me there's something on my settings of my phone, but rather with each company that I deal with, make sure that I opt in for two-factor authentication,
yes,
right?
And then if you can stand it, set up a different password every place you go. I know that's incredibly hard, which is why we at CNET recommend password managers.
Yeah.
There's two of them that are really popular, LastPass and 1Password. Microsoft, Google, and Apple actually have it built into a lot of their stuff now. But those things will create a random jumble of letters and numbers as a password, protect it behind a primary password that you use. And those work really well as well. Because honestly, security is great, and there's a lot of great security out there. But we've seen with Target and with Equifax and all these different hacks out there, they did not get hacked because the hackers were good. They got hacked because people had bad passwords. And that is what has constantly happened every time.
Okay, you're young enough that you may not know this, so now I get to tell you something you don't know. You ready?
I'm ready.
Once upon a time, if you went to the store and bought a TV, you'd take it home, plug it in, and you would watch television. Now,
what?
Now, I bought a smart TV recently, and I plugged it in, and I have Xfinity, but I don't have cable TV. So I have Wi-Fi, and I have, you know, service, but I'm now going to try and be one of those, now, not necessarily cut the cable people, but anyway, I'm trying to program the TV now. And it was remarkably complicated for me. Am I showing my age, or is it really complicated to program a smart TV anymore?
Yeah, a lot of these smart TVs, I would not use the word smart to define them. Look, there's a reason that Apple and Google and this other company, Roku, have become really popular for their TV software, is that they have come up with ways to do this that are far easier than what a lot of these smart TV companies do. So, you know, LG has invested a ton of money in a thing called WebOS, and it's okay. And Samsung has their own software. They all have their own smart TV, and I'm using air quotes here,
yeah,
technology. But the reality is that if you are not tech savvy, or frankly, if you have blood pressure medication, or
yeah,
if you just don't have the time of the day, you might want to consider buying a special device from Apple or Google or Roku to make your computer and to make your TV into a smart TV. And all you have to do is plug it into the back of the TV. It doesn't matter if you have a smart TV or not. And that software is far better and far easier to use 9 times out of 10 than what comes with your TV. Now, some TVs come with Roku software. In fact, the one we like the most over at CNET called TCL, they're a Chinese company, They make, in our opinion, the best TV bang for the buck, and it comes with Roku built in. And I can tell you that because a lot of CNET people have actually bought it on our own recommendations, including me. I have mine right here. And I'll tell you, even my wife, who hates dealing with technology, she's not a Luddite, she just hates dealing with all these settings, she understands it perfectly, and she uses it all the time.
What's the name of that Chinese TV you bought?
TCL.
As
three letters.
Tender Care Love, right?
Yes, exactly. And the reason, like I said, we really like them is that the bang for the buck, you know, they may not be the best TVs in the world, but for, you know, dollar for dollar, they're the best quality TV you're going to get in the market today.
It just seems to me that we've taken this business of username, password, and even two-step authentication to extremes that are not necessary, right? So at I guess Walgreens, it's a pharmacy, so it's necessary. But there are transactions where I need to know a username and password, and I think, why on earth do I need to do this, right?
You know what's funny is that the idea of a password, you know, I looked this up a while back. The idea of a password did not really exist until James Bond became a part of common society. And that's where we first started interacting with passwords on a large scale, right? And everyone learned what a password was. And with computers, what's interesting is that they really challenge a lot of what our brains are able to handle. You know, there's a lot of experts out there who say, look, we're not built to memorize these things, right? Passwords are way beyond what we were evolutionarily designed to do. And that is part of why Apple and Microsoft and a bunch of other companies are now actually trying to come up with ways to get rid of passwords altogether. Microsoft has probably gotten the furthest. They have systems they've built where, in fact, what happens is that you, and a lot of companies use this now who use Microsoft products, you don't enter in a password. You just enter in your email, and then a little app on your phone says, hey, I checked, I noticed that you're trying to sign in. What number do you see on your screen? And it'll be like 93, 76, and 22. And then you look at the screen number, and it's like, oh, 22. You click it, and you're in. You never entered in a password. So they're trying to come up with ways to solve this because the future answer of this is that we need to get rid of passwords. They don't work. They don't keep us secure. There's research that even shows that changing it every 3 months doesn't even keep you safe. Like, there's no reason to keep this technology except that we've always used it, and we need to change that.
I'm so glad to hear you say all of that. And one last thing, the QR codes pop up on some of these sign-up processes as well. I kind of like QR codes. I don't know if that's making it easier, but I've noticed that lately as well.
Yeah, they're ugly as sin, but they are super popular. Look, it's interesting. In China, about a decade ago, QR codes started getting everywhere. And in fact, the manufacturing industry has used QR codes everywhere. If you break open the devices that you have in your home that are newer, you'll see a QR code on a lot of different pieces because that's how they use to actually scan and check stuff as it's moving through manufacturing. But QR codes are very likely here to stay in some form because they're easy, right? And a lot of our phones now, if you open up the camera app and you point it at the QR code, you can actually just click on the QR code and it'll bring you to a website. I even went to a bar recently, and they had their menu as a QR code.
Well, that's
so
the way it is.
This stuff is becoming very popular
all the time here in Chicago. Ian, thank you as always. Very helpful. Let's go to a bar sometime.
Absolutely. When this stuff starts to calm down, I will happily go and do that.
Ian Schur is an editor at large at CNET.